again, and I certainly appreciate Brother Bell and all of the members here at Lantana Grace Church. You know, I was thinking last week, if you were sick, you would not want to go to a doctor that had only studied medical books, which were written 2,000 years ago and more. If you have your car and you wanted to take it to the mechanic, you would not want to take it to a mechanic that had only studied manuals written 100 years ago. Or if you needed to go to law, you wouldn't want a lawyer who had studied law 2,000 years ago. But you had better find a preacher. You'd better find a preacher that preaches from this book that was written over 2,000 years ago. And you'd better stick with him. And I know Donnie Bell is one of those men, and I appreciate him. Of course, you have to watch sometimes what people add to the scriptures. One of the young families in the church down in Louisiana told me Wednesday night about their son. He's a little under 3 years of age, and he attends a service there, and he's gotten used to hearing the preacher say, "The Bible says." The Bible says. So he came in the other night, stood in front of his mother and father, and put his hands on his hips, and he said, "The Bible says, no more whippings." If you will, let's open our Bibles today to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, and beginning in verse 36. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he saith, "Master, say on." There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. "Tell me therefore which of them will love him most." Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." And he said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, "Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" And he said to the woman, "Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." What a blessing it would be today if all of us could be brought spiritually to where this woman was so many years ago, and that is at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, kissing his feet in worship and praise of him. You know, when Simon, I suppose, when he invited the Lord to his house that day, he expected everyone to leave with a full stomach. But he never expected this woman to come with a heart full of love. He never expected to see that. And nothing would do but for this woman to show her love in washing, anointing, and kissing his feet, because she had been forgiven much. I believe, personally, we have an illustration here of what our Lord said in verse 35. I didn't read this verse. We began in verse 36, but if you look at verse 35, he said, "But wisdom is justified of all her children." Wisdom is justified of all her children. This woman was one of wisdom's children. And the gospel of the grace of God that was given to her was given to her to glorify Christ. You know, works religion, free will religion, that gospel that teaches that man in some way has something to do, something to contribute to his salvation, they accuse those of us who believe that salvation is by Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, of preaching a message that will cause a person to live an uncaring life, a licentious life, a life that does not show itself in good works by love or because of love for Christ. Wisdom is justified of all of her children. He is the wisdom of God. And all of those who experience his grace, his salvation, all of those who have his blood washing away their sins and his righteousness justifying them, they all desire to bring glory and honor to his name. Wisdom's children, all of them, justify wisdom. They want to live a life. They want to display. They want to show. We do. Because of the grace of God that we have experienced, our love for Christ, our desire to please and honor him. If you turn with me to Titus chapter 3, let me show you that, and then we'll come back here to Luke. But in Titus chapter 3, beginning in verse 3, Paul begins by telling what we were. Titus 3 and verse 3, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish." And oh, how foolish we were. How foolish we were to think that by the works of our hands we could satisfy a holy God. Yeah. And yet all of us by nature, all men by nature, that just seems to be inbred. That just seems to be something that we all come into this world in agreement in. That we, by our works, can satisfy a holy God. I was listening to a radio program last week, and a man calls it the God Squad. You never know what you're going to hear. He has a rabbi, a Roman Catholic priest, and a Baptist. And the rabbi said, "Well, what we believe is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, for I am the Lord." And he quoted a verse out of Leviticus. And I could not help but think, ask him, do you do that? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? He said, that's number one in our religion, to love our neighbors as ourselves. Do you love your neighbor as yourself? And will the God that you serve, the God that you worship, will He accept less than perfection? The God of the Bible will not. He won't do that. But we were so foolish that we thought, all men by nature, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. Isn't it wonderful to come to a conference here, and the majority, I'm sure, are believers, and we come together and we worship the Lord together, and there's a unity here, there's a fellowship, there's a love in our hearts that God the Holy Spirit pours into our hearts. But out in the world, I mean people in the world, those who do not know the grace of God live constantly in envy and hate, hating each other. And we live like that. We too were in that condition. But there's a man in our church that was saved under the ministry of Jack Shanks. And every time I say, "But God," he always comes up to me after the service and he said, "Brother Pledger, Brother Shanks told me years ago, when you see 'but God' in the scripture," he said, "you pay attention." But, well, that makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? That's what we were, but God. But after the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. And remember this, mercy is never deserved. If you deserve it, it's not mercy. Mercy's free. And as the preacher said last night, God is rich in mercy, or God delighteth in mercy. And Paul said, God is rich in mercy. Notice that word mercy, if you have a marginal reading in your Bible, in the margin it has to do with pity. According to His mercy, He saved us. You know, pity, mercy is for the pitiful. You read in a theology book, and that's what you're going to find about mercy, isn't it? It has to do with pity. People say, "I don't want anyone to pity me." I do. I want God to have pity on me, to have mercy on me. Because I know, because of my sins, by nature, I'm in a very pitiful condition. But God, according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So what we have here in Luke chapter 7, I believe, is an illustration of the truth that wisdom is justified of all her children. Person that makes a profession of faith and there's no change in their life, there's no difference, there's something bad wrong. Salvation is more than just being saved from hell. Now, that's what most people think today. That's what most religious leaders are preaching. If they ever deal with salvation, it's just a matter of being saved from the fires of hell. But salvation is much more. It's deliverance from much more than just the penalty of sin. Much more. For it is deliverance from the power of sin, and one day deliverance from the presence of sin. All right, this morning, let me take just a few more minutes, and let me point out to us six things that our Lord said, either to this woman or about this woman. Six statements that our Lord made in these verses which we've read, either to this woman or about this woman. The first thing that I mentioned that He said is this: He said that she had many sins. Notice that in verse 47. The scripture says, "Her sins, which are many." That's the Lord speaking. the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that she had many sins. And there can be no doubt that in this parable that he told of the two persons that were in debt, one owed 500 pence and the other owed 5, that she was intended in this parable as the one that owed 500 pence. And in verse 37, we read that she was a woman in the city which was a sinner. The Lord Jesus Christ said she had many sins, and everyone in this city knew that she was a sinner. They knew that she was. Many believed that she had been a harlot. Everyone knew this woman. She had a reputation, and it wasn't a good one. Our Lord said she had many sins. Everyone in the town said she's a sinner. And when she came into the Pharisee's house, he also knew that she was a notorious sinner. Because you see that in verse 39. Again, Scripture says, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." Now, in the parable that our Lord told, the one that owed 50 pence, that was much less than the man that owed 500 pence. And I suppose that Simon, as he heard our Lord tell that parable, he saw himself as having a few sins, maybe owing a little. But what this man did not see is the impossibility of paying, though it be a little. The absolute impossibility of paying this debt, if it's 50 pence or 500 pence, 5 pence or 5,000 pence, the impossibility of paying the debt. All sin is against God. And if it could be imagined that there is a person in this world, that there has been a person in this world that has committed just one sin, of course, we know to be guilty of once, to be guilty of all. To break the law in one point is to break all the law. But if there could be a person who is only guilty of one sin, he would still or she would still have to face this fact, the utter, absolute impossibility of paying for that one sin. Because all sin being against God requires an infinite sacrifice. True repentance. This woman agreed with our Lord. She agreed with our Lord. He said her sins are many. And I can just imagine she said, "Amen." Amen. Can you say that today? Can you say amen? When the Word of God, when the Scripture, when the Lord Jesus Christ declares, "You being evil," that's what He said to His disciples. "If you being evil, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, can you, has God given you the grace of repentance this morning that you can say, 'Truth, Lord. Truth, Lord.'" Just like that Syrophoenician woman. "Truth, Lord." You know, salvation does not come by denying that we have sinned, by trying to hide our sins. That's what Adam attempted. That's the reason he got the fig leaves out and him and his wife started sewing as fast as they could, trying to hide their nakedness. They were naked before God. They were sinners before God. But they could not hide their nakedness. They could not hide their sin. And salvation doesn't come by denying, trying to deny that we have sin. It comes by confessing, just like this woman did. Confessing, "Yes, my sins are many." No alibi, no excuse. Like what Brother Fortner said last night. Everything was good, but I especially like that about not playing the hypocrite. I think that's so true that we've all been raised up to play the hypocrite. We've let Arminian religion influence us so much that we seem to try to believe or try to convince ourselves that we don't have any sin, that somehow sin something that we don't have any problem with, we don't have any difficulty with. That's just not so. Just not so. A lady in our church, just a few weeks ago, she went to a church her mother attends on Mother's Day. I certainly wasn't in agreement with that, but she went anyway. She didn't ask me. I want to go with Mama. And she was telling me later, and I knew what she was going to find, and she came back just, you know, moaning and groaning about what she heard. Well, what do you expect? You know that. You go to one of these free will Armenian Baptist churches, that's what you're going to hear. If you know the truth, you're going to hear that which grieves you. But anyway, she said when she left the building there, someone asked her, what do you think about our church service this morning? Well, they asked the wrong person. She said, well, I'll tell you this. She said, I would never invite anyone to come here to this church. And the woman asked her, said, what do you mean? No, I never invite anyone to come here. Why? She said, because at our church, I like to invite people to come, and I know what we're going to hear. She said, number one, I'm going to hear that I'm a sinner. I know that. I'm going to hear that I am a sinner. And number two, I'm going to hear that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. And number three, I'm going to be encouraged to look to Christ. And I said, I couldn't have said that any better. I hope that's true every time. Every time. Well, that's the first thing. He said that she had many sins. The second thing is, he said that her many sins were forgiven. In verse 48, thy sins are forgiven. Now, I want us to observe two things here. He said her many sins were forgiven. First of all, her many sins could not keep him from her. Her many sins. She had many sins. Her many sins were forgiven. Her many sins could not keep him from her. You say, how do you know this? Well, we know this, as we would say, after the fact. After the fact. She was forgiven. And that tells us that she was one that the Father had given unto him. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He by his death paid the penalty for all the sins of those who were given to him. The prophet said, he shall make to meet upon him, or he shall lay upon him the iniquity of us all. And that is all the iniquity of all the people that the Father gave to the sons was laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and he paid the penalty. Now his death, that's the penalty of sin, his death. And so her many sins could not keep him from her, and number two, her many sins could not keep her from him. How do we know that? Maybe she had too many sins to be saved. No, he came to save sinners. Bona fide sinners. That's who he came to save. He saves all kinds of sinners, big, little, young and old, male and female, rich and poor, and as the hymn writer said, even me with all my sins. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mightest be feared. The third thing, he said that she was forgiven by grace. You say, where did he say that? In the parable, he said he frankly forgave them both. We've already seen that she was intended in the parable as the debtor owing 500 pence, but she was forgiven, and she was forgiven frankly. That's what that Scripture says, frankly, she was forgiven. What does the word frankly mean? Freely. Freely. The creditor in that parable has to represent God as forgiving the debtors freely of his own sovereign will, of his own sovereign grace and mercy. Now, when I was preparing this message, these notes, I typed out, the creditor represents God as forgiving the debt. I went back over my notes later and I said, no, I don't want to say that. The creditor represents God forgiving the debtors. The debt has to be paid. You see what I'm saying? The parable represents God forgiving the debtors, but the debt of the debtors had to be paid by someone in order for God to be just in forgiving the debtors. He does not forgive without satisfaction. His justice must be satisfied, but this only magnifies his grace because he provides himself the Lamb. He paid the debt at his own expense. He gave his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. The word propitiation, you know, that means that God's wrath, that God's anger had to be turned away. God's angry, the Scripture says, with the wicked every day. All we hear about today is the love of God, and we rejoice in the love of God. Thank God for the love of God. But that's one attribute of God. God is also holy and he's just. There had to be a propitiation. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. His anger had to be appeased. That's what that word means, appeased. The fourth thing our Lord said about this woman, he said that her faith saved her. He said that in verse 50. Thy faith hath saved thee. Now, you know, some people, they would make a savior of faith. But there's one savior, and his name is Jesus Christ our Lord. Faith did not die for us. Faith did not atone for our sins. But we are saved through faith. It's always through faith. For by grace are you saved. Through faith. And that is the gift of God. The Apostle Peter said, you have obtained like precious faith. Faith that we have today, those of us in this building who are believers, we have the same faith that the Apostle Peter had. Same precious faith. The Apostle Paul had. It's called the faith of God's elect. And there's three things about this precious faith. First of all, it has the same source. And God is the source of this faith. He gives us faith. He works in us. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I like the words of that hymn that we sing sometimes. Hope I can remember them now. I know not how his saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his Word wrought peace within my heart. It's a mystery, isn't it? It's a mystery. You come here and you sit under the preaching of the gospel, and God takes a man, just a weak vessel, who has this wonderful treasure in him, and he preaches it. Sometimes people come and they never come back. Sometimes people come for years and they just come. And then sometimes they come and I think, Todd, you said this just recently. I heard what you said today. Been coming for 10 years. I heard what you said today. God grants faith. Oh, don't make light of preaching. God hath chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. When I make the television tapes for our program, I have to go out to their TV station, and it's a religious station. They always have the TV on. There's all TV in every room. It's always on their station. And I was out there the other day getting ready to make some tapes, and when I go in, I always turn the volume all the way down so I'm not distracted, you know. I'm sitting there going over my notes. Well, I got up, and I saw this woman dancing up on the stage. She was just dancing around there, you know. I thought, someone must have switched the channel. I turned the volume up. Sure enough, it was that crazy preacher from Tennessee. Maurice told me about all the crazy ones we have down in Texas, but this one happened to be from Tennessee. And I thought to myself, have we sunk that low? Are we that blinded in religion today that anyone could believe that by watching someone do a ballet dance that God is going to save a sinner? Or that God's elect, God's saints are going to be edified and built up in the faith by such as that? Have we sunk that far in this country? Let me tell you again, it's the Word of God that God has chosen to use, the preaching of the gospel. Be faithful, attend, hear. And precious faith not only has the same source, it has the same object, Jesus Christ our Lord. And it has the same end, salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He's the object, and thou shalt be saved. That's the end. Here's the fifth thing, thirdly. He said that she loved much. Verse 47, for she loved much. Simon did not see his many sins, did not see Christ to be the Savior, did not have faith in Him and had no love for Him. But unto you which believe, He is precious. Sometimes people say, I'm not sure if I really believe. Is He precious to you this morning? Is Christ precious to you? Unto you which believe, He is precious. Simon, he did not show our Lord just the common civilities of that day. Provided him no water to wash his feet, did not anoint his head with oil, gave him no... that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. His anger had to be appeased. That's what that word means, appeased. The fourth thing our Lord said about this woman, He said that her faith saved her. He said that in verse 50. Thy faith hath saved thee. Now, you know, some people, they would make a Savior of faith. But there's one Savior, and His name is Jesus Christ our Lord. Faith did not die for us. Faith did not atone for our sins. But we are saved through faith. It's always through faith. For by grace are you saved. Through faith. And that is the gift of God. The Apostle Peter said, you have obtained like precious faith. Faith that we have today, those of us in this building who are believers, we have the same faith that the Apostle Peter had. Same precious faith. The Apostle Paul had. It's called the faith of God's elect. And there's three things about this precious faith. First of all, it has the same source. And God is the source of this faith. He gives us faith. He works in us. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I like the words of that hymn that we sing sometimes. Hope I can remember them now. I know not how his saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word wrought peace within my heart. It's a mystery, isn't it? It's a mystery. You come here and you sit under the preaching of the gospel, and God takes a man, just a weak vessel, who has this wonderful treasure in him, and he preaches it. Sometimes people come and they never come back. Sometimes people come for years and they just come. And then sometimes they come and think, Todd, you said this just recently. I heard what you said today. Been coming for 10 years. I heard what you said today. God grants faith. Oh, don't make light of preaching. God hath chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. And I make the television tapes for our program. I have to go out to the TV station, and it's a religious station. They always have the TV on. There's all TV in every room. It's always on their station. And I was out there the other day getting ready to make some tapes, and when I go in, I always turn the volume all the way down so I'm not distracted, you know. Sitting there going over my notes. Well, I got up and I saw this woman dancing up on the stage. She was just dancing around there, you know. I thought someone must have switched the channel. I turned the volume up. Sure enough, it was that crazy preacher from Tennessee. Maurice told me about all the crazy ones we have down in Texas. But this one happened to be from Tennessee. And I thought to myself, have we sunk that low? Are we that blinded in religion today that anyone could believe that by watching someone do a ballet dance that God is going to save a sinner? Or that God's elect, God's saints are going to be edified and built up in the faith by such as that? Have we sunk that far in this country? Let me tell you again, it's the word of God that God has chosen to use, the preaching of the gospel. Be faithful, pretend, hear. And precious faith not only has the same source, it has the same object, Jesus Christ our Lord. And it has the same end, salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the object, and thou shalt be saved. That's the end. Here's the fifth thing, hurriedly. He said that she loved much. Verse 47, for she loved much. Simon did not see his many sins, did not see Christ to be the Savior, did not have faith in him, and had no love for him. But unto you which believe, he is precious. Sometimes people say, I'm not sure if I really believe. Is he precious to you this morning? Is Christ precious to you? Unto you which believe, he is precious. Simon, he did not show our Lord just the common civilities of that day, provided he no water to wash his feet, did not anoint his head with oil, gave him no kiss. But what a contrast in this woman who was forgiven much. For we see that she's here washing his feet with her tears, drying them with her hair, anointing his feet with oil and kissing his feet. And you know, you think about this, if she had been a harlot, if that's true, her hair, her kisses, all of that which would have been used in plying that trade, that profession, whatever you want to call it, was now dedicated to her Lord to be used in his service, to be used for his glory. When God gets your heart, he gets everything. He gets everything. And the last thing, verse number six, he said unto her, go in peace. Go in peace. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. When your past sins come to your remembrance, Do you ever have trouble with that? David in the Psalms 25, he said, "Remember not the sins of my youth." Do those sins ever come back? Seems like a couple of weeks ago I experienced this. Every morning I got up and I remembered something that I'd done way, way back there. I mean way back there. Our Lord told this woman, "Go in peace." When your past sins come to your remembrance, know this, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Go in peace. When Satan would harass you, know that I have overcome him. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And when troubles would discourage you, and they will come, know that as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. I pray God would take these words this morning and apply them to each of us. And as I said at the beginning, that each of us may be at his feet in worship. Isn't that what the word worship really means? To prostrate yourself before him. May God enable us to do that in our hearts this morning before God. And worship him. Praise him. Thank God. Bless his name. God bless you.